It goes on to say in the third or fifth verse, rather, of Revelation, the sixth chapter, talking about the third seal. John said, when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast, the third living creature, as it should say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Now this voice on this black horse, that obviously was a symbol of death, that is followed by what is called a pale horse, that has the power to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth, which shows pestilence, plague. It shows rabid animals, and animals ravaging the dead and the dying both. It shows an absolutely macabre scene right out of almost a picture of Dante's Inferno. These mysterious four wraith-like creatures that galloped across the skies in the vision of John's dream in the book of Revelation, the famous four horsemen of the apocalypse, are the white horse of false Christs and false prophets that Jesus prophesied in the Matthew 24 prophecy. And Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 go hand in hand. The one interprets the other. The second was a great red horse that is called war, the power to take peace from the earth and that they should kill one another. The third is a black horse that is obviously famine. But it shows this voice saying that rationing would come first. A measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Wheat, barley, oil, and wine. These are the staples of foodstuffs of any economy. They are some of the major staples, and people even deal in futures and commodities and so on in some of those markets today. You could get involved right now, and you could purchase certain futures involving the barley market or the wheat market or the oil or the wine market or something. This isn't old biblical language. This is something that is new. I mean, you know, safflower oil and linseed oil and all of this type of thing for all sorts of purposes, your cotton oil and your mineral and vegetable oils. I mean, what could we do without them? They're part of our food. They're part of food processing and all of that type of thing, part of cooking process. We have to have them to live with. They're in our bread. They're in almost everything we eat in one way or another. So when it says, be careful, it is showing rationing. Now here, in verse 9, in the fourth chapter of the book of Ezekiel, we've come to the place where Ezekiel was told to do this strange thing of lying so many days on one side and so many days on the other side. It says in verse 9, take thee also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof according to the number of days that you shall lie upon your side. 390 days shall you eat thereof. And also reading down to the sixth verse, that he was to lay upon him the iniquity of the house of Israel according to the number of days that he was to lie upon one side or the other. That would be the number of years of their iniquity. Now, it's interesting that Jeroboam set up those golden calves in 975 B.C., and it goes all the way down to and including the reign of the wicked king Manasseh. By the time of the Babylonian captivity, and that occurred in 585 B.C. Now, if you would subtract 585 from 975, you would come up with this scripture. Notice in verse 9, according to the number of the days that you shall lie upon your side, 390 days shall you eat thereof. And so it showed that there had been exactly 390 days from the time of Jeroboam setting up those idolatrous calves until the time that they went into Babylonian captivity. But wait, this is happening 127 years after the northern 10 tribes had already gone into captivity. And Ezekiel is also talking about the whole house of Israel. Remember that, because it says so in verse 3, this, that is the portraying of this siege of this city on a tile, and all these things that he's saying about rationing, lying on one side and then the other, shall be a sign to the house of Israel. And that means the modern United States of America and the British Commonwealth of Nations and the democracies of Northwestern Europe right now, today. Now let's go on in verse 10. And your meat which you shall eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day, from time to time shall you eat it. You shall also drink water by measure, the sixth part of an hin, a very small amount, like a part of a pint or something. From time to time shall you drink, and you shall eat barley cakes, and you shall bake it with dung that comes out of a man in their sight. So here is Ezekiel not only portraying the siege of a city, but portraying a person very carefully weighing on a pair of little scales there that he had, certain little dabs of barley, of barley cakes, preparing a little fire out of you-know-what, and having to cook that fire in the sight of these people, and to eat and to measure that water carefully. Here he is right there in that camp. He's already a refugee in a captivity, in a kind of a hasty refugee kind of camp, probably not unlike some of those along the borders of Jordan and Lebanon today, where many of the Palestinian Arabs have to live in these temporary refugee camps, in whatever they can find to put together some sort of a hovel. Now Ezekiel argued a little bit, because the Eternal said, "Even thus shall the children of Israel eat their defiled bread among the Gentiles, whither I will drive them." And then I said, "Ah, Lord Eternal, behold, my soul has not been polluted, for from my youth up even until now have I not eaten of that which dies of itself or is torn in pieces, neither came there abominable flesh into my mouth." And then he said, "All right, I have given you cow's dung for man's dung, and you shall prepare my bread therewith," or "thy bread therewith. Moreover," he said unto me, "son of man, behold, I will break the staff of bread in Jerusalem." Now that's specifically talking of Jerusalem, but remember again the chapter 4, verse 3, which sets the stage of this chapter and of this prophecy, said plainly that this enactment of this measuring of the wheat and the barley, the drinking of the water by measure, the enactment of the siege upon the city, and play-acting, portraying by his own actions the terrible straitness of a siege where a person would be in a starved condition, is a sign to the house of Israel. And the house of Israel meant the northern 10 tribes that had gone captive 127 years earlier. Ezekiel was told in verse 17 of chapter 3 that he was to be a watchman to the house of Israel. And the message of Ezekiel has not yet reached the very people for whom it was written. It has not yet come to the conscious minds of the leaders and of the masses of the people of the United States and of British Commonwealth of Nations. And yet this book, buried in the dust of history for all of these centuries, is a warning message to our people right now today. It states very clearly that if we do not turn to God, if we don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth in full repentance and call out to him for forgiveness of personal sins, and to begin to live according to his will, and to walk according to his law and his word, and to put his very word into our inward parts by the power of his Holy Spirit, and walk and live and work and think and eat and sleep and dream and play according to the laws of God, and to be his people, then we will surely go down the drain as a nation. The Ezekiel message is plainly a system of choices. We either repent and go God's way and get every great blessing possible, or we keep going our own way and we're going to accept all these curses that God says will surely come upon us.